"We are one" means we share everything. We hear the mantra and see the words everywhere, "We are one." It's written on bumper stickers, silkscreened on t-shirts, printed on glossy book covers, and featured in magazine specials. The words, "We are one," emerged in the late 20th century in recognition of the fact that the human family is just that, one big, diverse family sharing one precious and finite planet. Beyond the ideologies, politics, cultures, and religions that sometimes tear at our unity and make us feel separate from one another, the fact is we are a single family, and we're unlike any other to exist anywhere else ever. It's precisely because we're a global family that the problems experienced in one part of the world are rarely limited only to that part of the world. While this fact has always been true to some extent, the rise of globalism now makes our oneness the reason why community resilience is the key to our future. When we find ways of thinking and living that work in response to the crises in one part of the world, just as the surrounding villages in Ethiopia clamored for the training that proved to change lives, the same thing happens on a larger scale in other parts of the world. It's no secret that today we're already a global society, with rare exceptions such as North Korea's isolation from the rest of the global community. It's fair to say that the boundaries that have separated one country from another have become a bit blurred and are becoming even more so. We no longer live in a world of separate economies, for instance. The financial markets that drive the economy are global and they trade continuously 24/7. We no longer live in a world of isolated technology or isolated energy or defense or communication systems. The food that keeps summertime produce and our supermarkets in the dead of winter is grown on farms half a world away and then flown, shipped, and trucked in on a daily basis. The voice that answers the help number we call at 2 a.m. for technical assistance with our computer is speaking to us more often than not from a call center located somewhere on the other side of the world. Clearly, we live in a time when the line that has separated countries, cultures, technologies, and finances in the past is a fuzzy one at best. The 20th century word coined to describe such complex relationships is globalization. In his book titled The Consequences of Modernity, socialist Anthony Giddens, who is perhaps best known for his holistic worldview of global societies, defines globalization as, quote, "the intensification of worldwide social relations which link distant localities in such a way that local happenings are shaped by events occurring many miles away and vice versa," end of quote. Personally, I like the definition offered by sociologists Martin Albro and Elizabeth King that identifies globalization as, quote, "all those processes by which the peoples of the world are incorporated into a single world society," end of quote. Well, regardless of how we define it, in general, the ways in which we share information, ideas, technologies, goods, services, money, and people have created a world where we are more connected with one another than at any time in history. It's this one world of globalization that's created what can often be a mixed bag when it comes to the big problems of the world and how we deal with them. There are now a number of drawbacks to a globalized world that are becoming clear. In his book, Globalization, Manfred B. Steiger, director of the Globalism Research Center at the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology University, gives us a place to begin when we're exploring such a huge concept. He breaks the effects of globalization into five separate yet related categories that give us a way to honestly think about the pros and the cons of each. These broad categories or dimensions of globalization are the following: economic, political, cultural, ecological, and ideological. While each of these affects our ability to live resiliently, there are two whose effects are obviously greater than others: a global economy and a global ecology. It's these that I'd like to focus on here. A global economy. The effect of a globally linked economy is a great place to begin a discussion of globalization. For one reason, it's on everyone's minds right now in the first two decades of the 21st century. The world is in the throes of an economic crisis on a scale that we've never seen before. As mentioned in an earlier section, the amount of money that the world owes in debt is nearing the break-even point of what the world produces as income. Making matters even worse is the fact that the interest on the debt is accumulating in such a way that we are on the fast track for our debt to exceed our income. In other words, as a global economy, we're spending more than we earn. Among the largest economies in the world, including members of the G9 and the G20 nations, the solution in the past has been to create more money to cover the debt in the near term. As described in Chapter 1, one of the effects of such a practice is that the world's money supply is flooded and the value of the currencies is tremendously reduced. While there are as many opinions as to where the economic crisis is headed as there are experts offering them, one thing is absolutely certain. The underlying reason that the whole world is in the same boat right now is because our economies are so deeply linked through globalization. In a globalized economy, the effects of one troubled economy send ripples throughout the world that affect other economies to varying degrees. This is precisely what the world witnessed with the horror in the autumn of 2008, when it was publicized that some of the world's largest financial institutions owed more money than they had in assets. When financial services firm Lehman Brothers declared insolvency on September 14th of that year, an interconnected chain of events was set into motion that continues to this day, as some of the world's largest and most respected institutions, such as Lehman Brothers, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the insurance giant AIG, began to do what had previously been thought impossible, to collapse into bankruptcy, the vulnerability of our global economy was quickly realized. In a 2010 interview, Henry M. Paulson, Jr., the former U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, stated, quote, "If the system had collapsed, many Main Street companies of all sizes would not have been able to get short-term financing to maintain basic business operations, to pay their suppliers and employees who then wouldn't have been able to pay their own bills. This would have rippled through the economy, resulting in millions more jobs lost, millions more homes lost, trillions of dollars more in lost savings," end of quote. Such widespread and devastating effects of the banking crisis could only be possible in a globalized economy.